Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
More driven.
Coming up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, we wrap up the state wrestling tournament. KJ Pilcher will stop by live in studio. A lot of basketball to talk about, college and high school. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. Oh, and by the way, Manny Machado, he is a millionaire many times over. All that and more coming up in the Gym Class on KGYM. And welcome into the Gym Class, KGYM, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM down in Iowa City as we await snow part, I don't even want to count anymore. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Manor producer, and Kyle will be, we got to give Kyle a mid-show promotion coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, as he's going to be taking over because due to the weather, many of the games tonight, as far as girls and boys tournament basketball, they have been pushed up as far as their start times are concerned, and we'll go over all that coming up your way here in just a little bit. We are presented, as always, by Third Base Brewery. Doesn't matter if it's snowing or sunny or cloudy or what have you, Third Base is a great place to stop. Locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again. And when you're at Third Base, you're practically home. They are located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, the proud presenting sponsor of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Do you have any more room for the snow, Mark?
Well, we don't have any choice, do we?
Nope.
I read 37 inches since the start of the year, after a very mild December.
And really, it's since the start of, well, since about the third week of January.
The last 6 weeks, isn't it?
Not even 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Not even 6 weeks. And it is just piling up and piling up, and anywhere between 3 and 6 inches more, maybe a little bit of freezing drizzle, freezing rain, although not anticipating a whole lot of that. Which is good. You don't want that underneath all this snow. But, yeah, holy cow, this can stop at any time. And, oh, yeah, we got the girls' state tournament next week.
Yeah.
Which what happens usually in the girls' state tournament
bad
week.
Bad weather.
Although now it's a week earlier than it was back in the day when that lore started.
So what does that mean for the boys' tournament the following week?
Armageddon. It's just going to be horrible. Horrific.
But the snow is not supposed to come till later, but the start times have been pushed up because allowing teams to get back to their home downs. For example, your game, Urbandale and Prairie.
Yeah, since Urbandale is going into the storm.
Right.
And that is why that is a 4:30 start time for the game. We'll be on the air on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Myself and Steve Dozer at 4:15 this afternoon. And then it'll be Jeff Moss and Eric Peterson from down at City High coming up at 5:50 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as it'll be City High looking to get back to state as they will take on Bettendorf. So those are our two games. Iowa State, Baylor still on for tonight. That is a 7 o'clock pregame on 1600 AM with an 8 o'clock tip-off coming up tonight. All of the postponed, every game has been moved up. One 4A game in Western Iowa has been moved to tomorrow, so we're not going to know the 4A pairings until tomorrow, which I know the 4A coaches are just extremely happy about. They can figure them out, though, pretty much, for the most part, because they go straight off the records, or the rankings, I should say. Class 5A tonight, we mentioned Prairie. Urbandale has been moved to 4:30. Cedar Rapids, Washington at West Des Moines Valley tonight has been moved to 6 o'clock. Most of these games are 6 o'clock. Iowa City West at Waukee will be a 6 o'clock game. Bettendorf City High in the South Gym will be a 6 o'clock game tonight. Cedar Falls hosting West Des Moines. Dowling is a 5 o'clock game. Ames at Johnston, 5 o'clock. Pleasant Valley hosts Ankeny, poor Ankeny Centennial. Now, here's what's going to get some people's, you know, get the their rancor up a little bit here. It's because people have complained about these, you know, statewide regions And now they got a thing to complain about because you've got Ankeny Centennial making probably, what, a 220 at least trip, 2.5 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Ankeny Centennial is going all the way over to Pleasant Valley to play. And that is a 6 o'clock game. So they're going to be going right back into this thing. So get ready for that, the naysayers out there. And that gets started at 6. Ames and Johnson are going to play at 5. Des Moines East, Southeast Polk at 6. 4A, the Xavier Central DeWitt game is still on. That will be a 6 o'clock game in DeWitt tonight. Also, the Marion game has been moved to 6 o'clock. Fairfield at Marion tonight. Keokuk at North Scott will be a 6 o'clock game. Also, Ballard at Waverly Shell Rock will be a 6 o'clock game. The one game moved to tomorrow is Glenwood at Denison Schleswig, and that has been postponed, and that will be played at 7 o'clock today. The girls aren't the only folks affected. The boys, we'll give you the locals here as far as time changes are concerned. Class 1A boys tournament action tonight. The doubleheader at Clinton, Prince of Peace, has been moved up 1 hour. So Easton Valley and Edco are going to play at 5:30, followed by Central City and Clinton, Prince of Peace. That will be at 7 o'clock. Same thing at Cal Wheatland tonight. 5:30 will be the Albernette-Springville game. IMS Cal Wheatland will be at 7 o'clock, tipping off with that one. And I think that's most of them from around here anyway. A lot more to the west and to the central part of the state. The Big Northland Beckman game is still at 7 o'clock in Independence tonight. That big one over there in Class 2A coming up this evening as those district finals go off.
3A state bowling tournament
2A.
Also, or 3A postponed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead.
Tomorrow postponed to Thursday at 11:30.
Don't go see bowling tomorrow. Come see us.
Yeah, Bowling Night America likely to be on.
Bring your good players. Mm-hmm. They're all good at this point.
And Dale Weaver, if you're available, please come on out. You can sub.
Son of Jake.
He is the state 2A individual champion from Xavier. Dale had a 296 game in his second game following a 216. He wins the state individual championship. Brandon Larson, West Delaware, fifth. Council Bluffs, Jefferson.
How about that?
With the team championship, they don't have many, if any, in any sport.
I was trying to think, and boy, it has been.
And they were good in wrestling for a stretch of time. I don't know if.
They were good at baseball a couple of years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When they had the big bopper that went to Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Hatcher? Was that his name? I think
Chris Hatcher.
Chris Hatcher. Yeah. But they didn't win state baseball, but. Yes, if you know the last time Council Bluffs TJ won a state championship, let us know. It has been a long, long, long time, but they won it today in bowling, so congrats.
They did. 2A boys, West Delaware third, Xavier seventh, and 2A girls. Fort Dodgers are team champion. Xavier finished seventh. Xavier's Olivia Nolte finished eighth.
And again, if any of you folks are available, sorry, it's a men's league, so 319-366-1600, Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line, and Hertina Stocker Jewelers located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City. Iowa and Maryland coming up tonight at 7 o'clock from down at Carver Hawkeye. We mentioned Iowa State will take on the Baylor Bears. Both of those big games as far as the Big Ten and the Big 12 are concerned, Mark. Can Iowa win another one? Are they going to have some drama again tonight, or can they just take care of things a little bit earlier? Not that it matters a whole lot as far as style points are concerned.
I don't know if Iowa fans can stand much more after Indiana, Northwestern, and Rutgers the last three games, but both games very impactful to the respective standings. Right now, Maryland stands 10-5, tied for fourth in the league. And Iowa is a half game behind at 9-5. As far as Baylor and Iowa State go, K-State is your leader in the Big 12. Iowa State tied for second, actually fourth right now, a half game back at 8-4, and Baylor 7-5. So very pivotal games in the league. And we ask you our Emil's Hideaway poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. What is the most likely outcome tonight? four choices. Iowa and Iowa State both win. Hawks win. Cyclones lose. Cyclones win. Hawks lose. Or both teams lose.
Want that one.
Thanks to Emo's on First Avenue, Southeast and Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's, where you can probably watch both games tonight and enjoy a great meal and great beverages.
Indeed. Boy, if Iowa wants any chance at a double bye, I got to think they have to have this game tonight at home against Maryland. By the way, this is one of those quadrant one wins for Iowa tonight out there. And that is available for the Hawkeyes. Iowa State, this right now, kind of borderline. I think it is a quadrant one right now. It will be no worse than a quadrant two, certainly. But that's the way it is with all of the Big 12 games. For the most part, anyway. But Baylor beat them in Waco. And kind of that was the game that kind of put the rest of the league on notice that Baylor was not going to be a pushover this year. They had so many losses last year off that team for Coach Drew, but they've come back with a vengeance this year and done a nice job.
I think both Iowa and Iowa State go in with some confidence. Iowa, a two-point favorite over Maryland, will have to take care of Maryland's inside game led by Bruno Fernando. This is a very young Maryland team, but very talented.
Yeah. Only good part about all the snow moving in and all these games being pushed up, somebody gets to go to the basketball game tonight. Who didn't think he was going to get to go.
Barring a seven overtime game at Prairie.
Barring a seven overtime Prairie-Urbandale game. And then we might just go at halftime.
Yeah.
319-366-1600. Iowa State falls a game and a half behind K-State. K-State went to West Virginia last night and got a win. Wade played last night for Kansas State. Mm-hmm. TCU lost at home last night. Not a good loss for Texas Christian. And what TCU team is going to come into Ames coming up, we'll see. That's kind of a mystery out there, but we'll find out. Iowa State with a run of home games coming up.
Yeah, Drake also in action tonight. Drake really under the radar because so many people talk about Iowa and Iowa State, but the Bulldogs 20-7. In a three-way tie for first in the Missouri Valley with Loyola Chicago and Missouri State. Bradley visits Drake tonight. Bradley not so far off in a three- or four-way tie for third in the Valley. That also includes Northern Iowa.
And I know when Alex and Todd were talking about the Mo Valley yesterday, and I agree with them. This is not a 15th seed league.
Oh, God, I don't think so. No.
I mean, come on. This is not the SWAC or the MEAC or something like that. It's the Mo Valley. And I think they've proven over the years. I mean, heck, Loyola got to the Final Four last year. No, it's not a great league this year, but it's, come on, don't degrade them that much. They're 12, 13 seed.
It's not a Sacramento State or anything like that. Come on.
You know, Loyola gets in, they're going to be a 15 seed. Come on. That's just silly out there. 319-366-1600. I'm going to take off here. I know that KJ is probably listening. KJ, if you're listening, thank you for all your wrestling help. Same to Wyatt Schultz, because we kind of wrap up the high school wrestling season today. Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, also helping us out with that, as well as Mark Ironside. But KJ did a tremendous job, as well as all the reporters down in Des Moines, without a lot of sleep and a lot of things to do from Wednesday to Saturday.
And a treacherous ride home.
And a treacherous ride home.
On Saturday night. We may perhaps hear about that from KJ, but... yeah, going to wrap up the state high school wrestling meets, I should say, the dual and traditional. And to talk a little bit about Iowa and Oklahoma State coming up this weekend. KJ attended Tom Brands' news conference just this afternoon.
Yep, just about an hour ago. All right, going to take a break, come back. I'm going to tag Kyle in, and we'll talk to everybody here in about an hour down the road at Prairie.
107.5.
On 107.5 FM, and then... at 5:50 on 106.3 FM, it will be City High taking on Bettendorf. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Kyle will join Mark. More of the gym class here coming your way on KGYM.
It's at the home show. It's never too early to start planning to update or remodel your home and garden. And what better way to start than at the 40th annual Cedar Rapids Home and Builder Show at the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center in Cedar Rapids. Bigger and better than ever, this is your chance to see the very latest products and services for your home and yard. Stop by Friday, February 22nd through Sunday, February 24th. See the displays and attend informative how-to seminars.
At the Home Show!
The 40th Annual Cedar Rapids Home and Builder Show from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, and noon to 5 Sunday, February 22nd through the 24th at the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center in Cedar Rapids. Admission is still just $5, children under 12 free. And don't miss Papa Balloon. See you at the show. Sponsored by the Greater Cedar Rapids Housing and Building Association.
Ideas to make your house a home.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Alexis, I've reviewed your resume online, and I think you're very professional, punctual, a fantastic listener, and I believe you'd be a great fit at our company.
Dave, we've talked about this. I will not be your employee. I'm your therapist.
Is this reverse psychology?
No, Dave.
Does that mean yes?
We're out of time, Dave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
When it's sports you need, tune to KGYM. Great ESPN programming and live local sports. When it's smart rock you need, tune to Smart FM for great smart rock and weekend programming. Like the Beatles Buffet, Sunday mornings at 11. Looking for something a little off the beaten path? Chris Jackson's got you covered with Where It's At, Everything Alternative, Sunday nights at 6. Smart Rock on Smart FM.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Go to Pennzoil.com/oil change offer to save. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the Gym Class 321 on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Next 40 minutes, Kyle Mann and myself will round out the gym class. As you heard, Scott Unash parting ways on his way to Prairie High School to call a 5A regional final between Urbandale and Prairie, a trip to the state tournament on the line. That game moved up, as all games were, to avoid weather conditions after the games, probably wise. But right now, our segment brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Thanks to Kurt for his wrestling love and sponsorship all year long. We want to welcome in our friend KJ Pilcher, not quite rested up for the state tournament.
It'll take a few days to fully recharge. But
you were at Tom Brands' news conference in advance of Iowa, Oklahoma State, and we'll get to that later on. But let's talk about the state wrestling for a minute. You know, the duels were kind of chalk, weren't they, for the most part?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. I think so. Some of that had to do outside of 3A. I think there were just clear-cut winners there. West Delaware, you know, from the beginning of the season has just had this balance from top to bottom that very few match. And you know, they wrestled in December against two other teams that were in the state dual finals in other classes and went 1-1 against them. If that tells you just how good they really have been all season. And you know, Solon has been just as good except for when they faced West Delaware. You know, their only two losses all season have been to them early in the season and then in the finals. And it's just they just have a cycle of talent and kids in that program, kind of similar to 2012, 2013, when they won a traditional state title. And they're young. They only have three seniors. So wasn't real competitive there in 2A. 1A, Don Bosco is just balanced and strong. You thought maybe Denver Lisbon could possibly compete, but it proved that they couldn't. And there are some teams that threw in the towel beforehand. You know, West Sioux, I don't think wrestled a single starter against Don Bosco in the semis. You know, which I can see if it's on the backside, but that right there is that's what's wrong with the duels right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's still lingering a little bit. But then you had 3A where, you know, you had Southeast Polk and Waverly Shell Rock battling out all the way through. And, you know, that was fun, but really the only competitive part of the duels.
You talked about West Delaware, and now we're getting into the traditional meet. Quite remarkably, and I think you would agree, West Delaware wins a state championship in the traditional meet, despite not only not having a finalist,
right,
not having anybody finish higher than third.
Right. And that was one of the things where, you know, I think there's 16 teams. They're the 16th team to win it without a champ. So, you know, that's been done.
Mm-hmm.
And then while we were sitting there thinking about it, we're like, gosh, when was the last time one of these teams didn't have a finalist? And, of course, you know, I used the resources possible, and Dan McCool, who looked it up and found out that Urbandale in 1996, I believe, is when they won the 3A title, didn't have a finalist, and that's the only other team. And then I happened to find Urbandale's records online and realized, gosh, they had like four guys finish third. And then you look at West Delaware's results, and we're like, their highest finisher is a fourth. But that just shows their balance, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, they took
seven place winners, is that right?
Yeah, seven out of eight made the podium. And even their eighth wrestler scored a point. So it was a total team effort. But it also showed, I know people don't like the word parity, but the 2A race was just captivating from the first round on. I mean, after the first session, I think you had 18 teams within 10 points of each other, which was just phenomenal.
Crazy.
Yeah, you know, and I think there was only like 8 points separating the top 15 teams. You know, it was just crazy. And it was like that all the way through until West Delaware came out Saturday morning in the consolation semis and won three of their first four. And that's when they finally really pulled away. And, of course, they didn't have anybody in the finals, so they had to. But they knew what they had to do Saturday morning, and they got it done.
Talking with KJ Pilcher, excellent writer for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, putting a capper on the state high school wrestling season. It was not a good Friday for the metro area. I don't have to tell you that. Wempen did win a state title, which was great to see. Prairie and Kennedy had pretty good meets. But, yeah, Wempen was the only finalist.
Yeah, and actually 3A as a whole. And I think it just goes to show that just the more elite Waverly Shell Rock was fantastic. And Central Iowa is where right now you see the gist of the individual talent. And I can't remember. Our Gazette area is usually rich in, you know, finalists and talented wrestlers. And we still have a lot of them. But I can't remember the last time we've had two weights with finalists. You know, usually there's been times where there's seven, eight weights where the Gazette area is represented. And, of course, you know, just the two weights with Hunter Garvin at 120 and Jacob Wempen and his opponent, Devin Ludwig from Western Dubuque, being our only representatives on Saturday night. And, boy, what a performance by Wempen.
Mm.
You know, and this is something, you know, he was really focused before districts. He didn't really want to talk about what was in front of him because he was just so focused and wanted to get the job done, you know. And he said multiple times that he didn't want to just win. He wanted to dominate. And that's what he, I mean, that's what he did all the way through. You know, and you think about his path, and this is something I think every single wrestler, and even a youth sports parent should take this lesson to heart. Because when he came in as a freshman, he was very talented. They knew they had somebody good. But you know what? He wasn't a state qualifier as a freshman. He was in a loaded district behind Logan Rodriguez from Kennedy, who ended up making the finals, and Kyle Briggs, who finished fifth, I think, that year. The next year, he was behind one of the Conway boys from Marion, and then Alex Ward from Dubuque Hempstead. Both of them were ranked. Conway made the award stand, got fourth or fifth. Ward didn't place, but won a match down there. Probably was expected to medal. So those are 2 years that he didn't place. He didn't even get down to Des Moines. You know, and this was somebody that just kept working. And Doug Stryker said, we kept telling him, keep putting in the work, keep putting in the work, stay the course. That was the term Stryker said over and over again. We told him to stay the course. It's going to come. Keep working. Then last year, made it down there, but, you know, Ben Saracen from Kennedy had a phenomenal year, and that was the only real hiccup that Wimpen ran into. So this year, he had the opportunity as a senior and took full advantage of it, finally got that state title that he'd been working on since he was a freshman, you know, and he just kept working and staying the course. It could have been really easy to throw a tantrum or really think, I'm putting all this work and I'm not getting anything out.
It's tough to do.
It is. It really is. And, you know, I've told, and it's not quite the same scenario because, you know, and you've probably dealt with this watching kids and grandkids go through youth sports and people who are, they really need to get better. Well, they're in fifth grade.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what they're going to be like when they're freshmen. And when they're freshmen, you don't know what they're going to be like when they're seniors. Just keep staying the course. Keep doing the work. Keep having fun. You know, don't worry about what the wins and losses are right now. Keep working, you know, and then that stuff is going to pay off. And guess what? If it doesn't pay off on the mat, like Stryker said, it's going to pay off in life because this is a lesson that he's going to be able to apply. And it was really cool seeing him jump the railing afterwards and hug his mom and his dad and his brother Matt, who was a state champ at Lindmar, came down and hugged him as well. I mean, it was really cool. And just a great performance from him overall.
Yeah, it's a good lesson right there. KJ, I wonder how you will remember Conrad Braswell, a four-time conference champion, a four-time medalist. Now, those are rarities in and of themselves, but never won a state title.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point, and that probably separates him a little bit from, you know, some of those. He joined some pretty elite group, you know, Matt Hatcher, Josh Wenger, Sam Utoff are the only other Prairie Hawks to be able to do that. And I don't think people, you know, you get used to seeing some people come through the pipe like a Jay Borschel or Joey Slayton, you know, who not only, you know, they're four-time champs, or Matt McDonald that was a three-time champ, and, you know, Slayton was a four-time finalist. So you think, oh, that's what good wrestlers do, but that's not the case. It's very, very hard to get on that award stand as a freshman. You know, he placed fourth. I think he dipped down to eighth last year and then sixth this year. Still a phenomenal wrestler for Prairie. He's been so consistent ever since he stepped on the mat the first time for the Hawks. I mean, he's one of the better. There's no way to deny Braswell is one of the better wrestlers in the Metro.
How many have won four conference titles? Nelson Brands?
Zero.
Brands didn't?
10 total. There have been no Metro wrestlers that have won all four titles for a Metro school. Mitch Mueller won two at Kennedy and then transferred to Iowa City West and won his last two. But he was the first wrestler to win four titles for a Metro school. And that alone puts him, you know, in obviously group all his own right now, but I think if you just look at the whole resume total, being part of very strong Prairie teams, being a four-time MVC champ, being a four-time state medalist, you know, he's got a great resume and something to be very proud of.
3:33 in the gym class on this Tuesday. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann joining KJ Pilcher this afternoon, talking about wrestling. Scott Unash on his way to Prairie to call a 5A regional final between Urbandale and Prairie. That pregame coming up at 4:15 on 107.5 FM. As far as Lisbon goes, three for three in the finals. I thought Brad Smith got every last ounce out of his team. What do you say?
Yep, I would agree. I mean,
in a second.
Yes. You know, they just didn't have the total balance. You know, some of the underclassmen had some tough draws, but the first day, I think they lost like three of their matches by a total of like 4 points, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or two by three, something like that. So they wrestled well. They just didn't have kind of the balance to really complement those three hammers there in the middle. You know, they got a good tournament from, I believe, Cole Clark. I think he's a sophomore. He placed well. Ryan Moorfeld, a senior, they knew he would be in the running for a medal and finish fairly high. They just didn't have kind of the contribution from other people that they needed to make a run at Bosco. And Bosco's just so balanced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had so many point scorers.
Will they again next year? Or are they just going to reload? They got a lot back?
They have quite a few back.
Yeah.
You know, they got Frost, and I believe the 10-hole twins are back. They do lose some in the upper weights. But, they still have a good core back, you know. So they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough again. But those three hammers in the middle, I mean, Robert Avila Jr., Cal Happel, and Kobe Siebrecht collectively had probably one of the best performances. I mean, all three of them looked so tough all the way through and got a kick out of, wasn't a big celebration from Cal Happel. And then when we get to the tunnel and he's surrounded by media wanting to talk to him about winning his third title, he's like, hang on, I got something to do. And he took off and started running sprints down the hallway to kind of cool down and get that extra work in. And, then found
That's
out.
That's not how I cool down.
No, no.
I don't know about you, KJ.
I don't know either. and then I found out the next morning after winning a state title and getting some rest, him and Kobe Siebrecht, who won at 138, went for a 3-mile run. So I'm not sure who taught them how to celebrate.
It's a different breed, man.
But hey, I guess that's the price you pay to dominate.
Kale's going for to be a four-timer next year.
He has a shot to join Carter, his older brother, as a four-time champ and be the 28th in state history. And another thing that I find absolutely phenomenal. He could become Lisbon's fourth four-timer, which is just mind-boggling when you think one school having four four-time champs.
Morningstar.
Shane Light. Carter Happel. Mm-hmm. Kale would be a fourth. And speaking of that, winning three titles, having three individual champions is a pretty impressive feat. Mm-hmm. That's the ninth time they've done it. It's the ninth time, and even twice they've had four in the same year. So that's pretty impressive.
I'm going to ask Mark Ironside this tomorrow when Mark appears with us, but I want to ask you as well. You saw a lot more matches than I did, that's for sure, but I was watching the Saturday semifinals, and I thought one of the most remarkable things. Friday semifinals, okay. I'm sorry. Solon's Hayden Taylor, mm-hmm. a freshman.
Yeah.
Going up against a defending state champion from PCM, I think.
ADM.
Or ADM, yep. I'm sorry. I don't know what the move is. It was a turn of some kind, but he used it four or five times, and you wouldn't have known who the defending champion was. This kid was dominant.
Yeah.
And he's a freshman, right?
Yes, and then he went on to follow that up Saturday night with a strong performance as well. He was somebody that knew on the radar. I mean, he's got a motor that runs red hot, and he's very technically sound. He's a He's just a very good athlete and a great wrestler. But that was a defining moment that made you really think this kid is something special.
Incredible.
Because he absolutely dominated Flora from ADM in that semifinal. And, you know, it was one of those things where you knew it was coming and couldn't stop. You know, and he just kept going right to it. And it was pretty impressive to see. This is a freshman. Now, granted, freshmen nowadays have so many matches, and, you know, the top flight freshmen are so experienced.
Mm-hmm.
They're not quite freshmen, really, but still, I mean, that was, like I said, kind of a breakout performance that really put everybody on notice. I mean, you knew he was good, but he really showed he was an elite wrestler the way he dominated that match.
Yeah, it was a tilt of some kind, yes. Right? I mean,
it was kind of that near wrist
right
tilt, something that I think Tanner Sloan did very well at Midlands this last year. Sloan, a former Albernette prep that reached the Midlands finals for South Dakota State, kind of a similar little wrist tilt.
He was able to do it four or five times, yeah, and it was just a dominating
right
performance.
And,
yeah,
and that's where you hit it a couple times, and if you keep going to it, it's a sign that you probably broken your opponent a little bit being able to get to it, and that's what he did.
Well, he's one to keep an eye on.
Oh, for sure.
State champion as a freshman.
Yes, oh, definitely, and that's somebody that there's no reason to believe that he's going to slow down.
Before we get to Iowa, Oklahoma State, and we're talking with KJ Pilcher of the Gazette on wrestling right now, his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. The prospects for the Metro next year, I know Kennedy's got two or three of those upperweight guys back,
mm-hmm.
Viss and Parker for sure. I can't remember if Cam Jones is a senior or junior, but.
You know, I think he might be a senior, but
yeah,
I can't remember.
I think so
for sure.
Too. But I guess overall prospects for the Metro next year.
I think Kennedy probably returns the most. You know, you talk about Cade Parker, Josh Viss, a heavyweight that got third, was ranked number one a lot of the year, made it to the semis. I believe Kale Knox is back. You've got some lighter weights. Trying to remember if the Falk kid is back. Jay Ostendorp has been really experienced in there as well. I think Ty Fiffner, Ben Hager. I mean, they've got some really experienced, and they lose a few kids, but for the most part, a lot of those components are coming back and probably have the most balance.
Mm-hmm.
Prairie also, I know, talked about Conrad Braswell graduating and finishing things up, but Austin Cagley is a kid that finished third, I believe, third or fifth. Blanking there for a second. You know, he looked really good outside of the semifinals. You got Ashton Stoner to Groot, you know, who was absolutely dominant in his first two matches. I mean, he pinned both of his opponents in 33 seconds to get to the semis and ended up making the award stand. So, you know, they've got a nucleus of kids, and they always just kind of seem to kind of
regenerate. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think can't remember if Johnny Washburn's back. You know, he was a state qualifier for him. That's I think he's just a junior. You know, so I think those two are kind of leading the way a little bit. You know, Lindmar's got something. I just don't know if they have quite the balance, you know, because we're going to lose Tanner Schultz. Obviously, Jacob Wempen is gone, you know, but they've got a few guys, Brandon O'Brien, guys that didn't place but got down there and got some experience, you know, that are going to be key.
Xavier had a freshman medalist.
Yeah, Christian Stanek from Xavier. You know, that's a first time in school history. You know, he came in, got a pin. You know, he was ranked eighth, wrestled the ninth-ranked guy right out of the gate. got a nice pin to kind of kickstart his tournament. Then ran into Joe Pins from Dubuque, who I believe ended up winning. I kind of lost track. I know he made the finals, but I think Pins actually won the 132-pound bracket. You know, I know Stanek got eighth and wrestled some upperclassmen on the backside too. But, you know, that's a nice little building block for him. And he's a really tough kid. You know, we've talked about it on our podcast. In the MVC tournament, he got cut open, and he had tape strapped across his face. And, you know, it looked like he was coming out of a MASH unit. And he kept wrestling through it. It just shows you he's a tough kid. And I'm guessing things are only going to get better after that.
Iowa, Oklahoma State coming up on Sunday, and you were at Tom Brands' news conference just this afternoon. And we've talked about it before. This has not been a good Iowa schedule this season. So, no, the Big Ten makes that schedule
right.
And whatnot. No Penn State, no Ohio State, yeah. Whatnot. But probably the premier duel is the last one, and that's at Oklahoma State. And you probably haven't had a big chance to break it all down yet, but is this going to be as good as advertised?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think you look all the way up and down the lineup, and you've got a competitive match at each weight. Just kind of looking at it, I think there are 18 ranked wrestlers between the two teams. Bowman's not in the rankings at 174, and at 57, Oklahoma State doesn't have somebody in the lineup that's ranked. So you're looking at 8 out of the 10 weight classes that are going to be two highly ranked wrestlers, because all but one of Okie State's wrestlers are ranked in the top 10. Iowa has, I think, 6 or 7 in the top 10, and everybody ranks 16th or better that's in the rankings.
It's going to be a good one right out of the chute.
Well, with you look at those first two weights, and Tom Brands kind of mentioned John Smith is a traditionalist, so more than likely we'll start at 125 for that weight. So you're looking at Spencer Lee and Nick Piccinini. I think that was a quarterfinal match last year. Lee had, in the duel, Lee got out to a big lead, and then once he got to the third period, Piccinini kind of scored some points and made it closer. So you thought, oh, how is this going to be? And Lee absolutely dominated him. Got out to a big lead, and then I think stuck him in the quarters. But Piccinini, undefeated, 26-0 coming in, kind of right on that tier below Sebastian Rivera and Lee, kind of in the rankings and kind of how you perceive that weight. But he's been on a mission this year. And this is going to be a really, really good test to see just where Spencer is at. You know, I think some people have said he might have been banged up a little bit. But, you know, that's going to be a great match. And then you look at 133 with Austin DeSanto and Dayton Fix, which – you know, I think is the number one match you point to, even with Lee and Piccinini, where you've got, you know, a Fix contended for a spot on the world team this last preseason, this last summer. You know, certainly a title contender right out of the gate, you know, and then you got DeSanto, and everybody knows kind of what he's done this year. You know, if you've got two guys with big motors and willing to put it all on the line, Fix with his inside trip and DeSanto, you know, everybody knows the pace that he works at. That whole, you know, fur flying kind of a phrase that you hear from Tom Brands, you're going to get it at 133.
Comes down to the end, it'll be Sam Stoll against another tough heavyweight.
Yep.
I don't know if you know what happened at the end of the Wisconsin match, but both teams penalized a point for, I guess, a little extracurricular activity. I don't know whether it was between the wrestlers or the coaches. Or...
I think it was the wrestler. I think the Wisconsin heavyweight pushed Stoll as he went back to the center, and Stoll took his headgear off and kind of flipped it at him and hit him in the stomach.
Lower stomach?
With it. Yeah. So I think both got, Dean Ironside could correct me if I'm wrong there, but I think it was just the little extracurriculars after that. Pretty harmless, but
yeah,
still worth a deduction. And that's...
Iowa might be the most penalized team in the country.
Well, between DeSanto and Stoll for a couple things, possibly. Possibly. But there have been some other teams. Rutgers have had a few demonstrations and stuff like that.
That could be, if it comes down to that, a Stoll against the number two guy, Derek White.
I'm guessing everybody's been told they better have it under control
by then.
Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm guessing there's been a team memo maybe sent out or a direct message from somebody saying, hey.
Or worse.
Yeah, right. Be careful. Because this really is going to come down to if somebody's going to be able to get a bonus point, who wins, you know, who's able to kind of get an upset. You know, somebody like Cash Wilkie, you know, wrestling Jacoby Smith at 184. That's going to be huge. Jacob Warner at 197 and Preston Weigel kind of joining the lineup here for Okie State at 197. That's going to be a big match. You know, you can go all the way up and down the lineup. You know, there, when you talk about every match is going to be competitive, that's really how it's going to be. And, you know, you look at Mitch Bowman wrestling JoJo Smith at 174. Can Mitch Bowman win? Yes. Mitch Bowman keeping it close to make sure Okie State doesn't score bonus points here. That's going to be just as important possibly by the time that match gets over, you know, and especially coming down, you know, Stoll, you know, the Achilles heel so far for him is being able to get out of under, being able to get out from guys that can ride a leg and have heavy hips, you know, and he's been really, really close even against Jensen and I think it's Hilliger from Wisconsin. You know, but you just got to finish it and get out like he did against Amita. He got out in 5 seconds here against a Maryland heavyweight who's, you know, kind of lighter and can be good on top. So, you know, he just, you know, if he can do that, you know, that could be key. Because that duel is, I would be very, very surprised if that duel's settled by the time the 10th match rolls around. Assuming they go 25 to heavyweight. They'll be on Stoll shoulders.
Iowa, Oklahoma State, Sunday at 2 o'clock at Gallagher-Iba Arena. Number 2 against number 3, 2-14-0 teams. KJ, we can't begin to thank you enough for your biweekly appearance here on the Gym Class and all things wrestling, and look forward to next year.
I appreciate it. It's always fun coming in and talking to you guys. And, you know, there are not very many stations to vote. You know, the time to wrestling that you guys do every week, you know, with Wyatt and I coming in on Tuesday and then having Mark, you know, who's phenomenal and promotes the sport so much and really, you know, continues that Gable legacy of promoting wrestling, which is awesome. And you guys give us the opportunity to do that. Very grateful for that opportunity and thanks for all you guys do.
Yeah, thank you. And look forward to... the next year, the national tournament coming up and Big Ten tournament and all that. KJ, thanks again.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, 3:52 on the Gym Class. We're going to take a break and then bring you home.
Ready to make your commute more entertaining, more interesting, even more productive? Then try 100% ad-free listening on Audible. Each month, you'll get 2 Audible Originals, exclusive titles you can't find anywhere else, plus a credit good for any audiobook and unlimited access to exclusive fitness and wellness programs, all with our commitment-free guarantee. The most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories. Go to audible.com today to start your free 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is on us.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
This is Peter on his motorcycle.
Oh, the open road!
And this is Peter off his motorcycle.
Please move your paper off my desk. Thank you.
On his motorcycle.
I feel so alive!
Off his motorcycle.
I feel like we covered that already, so...
On.
Wow! Look at the ocean!
Off.
Look at this article I found about urban planning.
You're better on your bike. Progressive helps keep you on it. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. For auto, home, business, and life, contact us today. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance, Life Mutual Standard of Ohio and Wisconsin Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency, excellence in customer experience.
Looking for your next vehicle will be relaxing and stress-free at Brown's West Branch. You always get their no-pressure promise, along with a hometown feel you don't seem to find at most dealerships these days. Come to Brown's West Branch to find your new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram. Or take a look at their fine selection of pre-owned vehicles, too. No matter what you're searching for, they believe in helping you make an informed decision in your own time. The professional, knowledgeable people at Brown's West Branch are some of the friendliest you'll meet. And when you do decide you'd like more information about a vehicle, they're ready to help. Brown's West Branch. The right products, pricing, and people. Plus, their exclusive no-pressure promise. Take the short, easy drive to see them just off I-80 at exit 254 or visit 4browns.com. Brown's West Branch, part of the Brown's family of dealerships, your hometown dealer, no matter where your hometown may be.
Save big money this week during Menards Priced Right Sale. From modular systems to pre-finished shelving and closet kits, Dakota Shelving makes it easy to create your own custom storage space. Organize your home with 15 3/4 inch deep, 8 foot long pre-finished shelving. Right now, four finishes are on sale for just $7.99 each after rebate. Find these and other great deals going on now through February 23rd during Menards Priced Right Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your LLC and S-Corp tax filings before March 15th. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. 319-208-3712.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Welcome back to the gym class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann putting a bow on today's show.
Mirror love.
Scott Unash preparing to call Urbandale and Prairie Girls 5A regional final action. That'll come on the air at 4:15 on 107.5 FM, 5:50 at the South Gym, 106.3, Bettendorf and City High, and then 7 o'clock the pregame for Baylor and Iowa State, 1600 AM. The big news of the day, Manny Machado signing, or at least agreeing to a contract with the San Diego Padres, 10 years, $300 million, Kyle.
It's a little weird to me. I mean, my whole takeaway from that is that we spent this whole winter hearing that, you know, you know, there's collusion. I'm pretty solidly on the side that there was, I don't know if it's full-blown collusion, but there was at least mild collusion going on where the teams were either A, not wanting to give that length, or B, not wanting to give that much money. But then here come the Padres at the last second. They're gonna give them everything. 10 years, $300 million. It just, to me, if there was collusion, the Padres just undid the whole thing, and that to me is the most interesting part of it.
I wonder if the Padres may not still be thinking about Bryce Harper.
Wow.
The Padres' payroll last year was only like $110 million. And can you take on that additional load? I don't know. The Padres, 30 games under 500 last year. Machado alone is not going to get you back up to at least the 500 level. But people smarter than I that I pay attention to say that the Padres have a lot of good young talent, especially in the pitching department. So perhaps we're talking 2020-21, but big news of the day, and now we'll see about Harper.
Somebody was going to pay those guys. Why not one team paying both?
Tomorrow, Mark Ironside talking about Iowa-Oklahoma State wrestling. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the